Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
This morning with Dr. Bryce Edwards. Morena, Bryce, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, very well, actually.
Nice to have you back up on the show. How have you been?
I've been, delving into New Zealand politics as usual, and you know, this week has been lots going on.
Very busy week.
Prisoner voting ban debate, the report on the census coming out, just ongoing questions about the Labor Party, harassment inside that, you know, with sexual harassment allegations going on. So, yeah, lots going on.
It has certainly been a busy week. Well, let's start by talking about prisoner voting rights. So, in November 2018, the New Zealand Supreme Court confirmed that the 2010 prisoner voting ban was inconsistent with the Bill of Rights. At the time, Justice Minister Andrew Little said that it wasn't a matter of much priority, but now he says his personal view is that we should go back to the rules before 2010. What's prompted this change of heart, do you think, Bryce?
Well, we've had a report out on Monday from the Waitangi Tribunal that really looked to see if there was, you know, a problem for Māori in what's happened here with this change, because in 2010... well, let's go back a bit further. I mean, actually, if you go back to ancient Greek democracy, like the very first time of democracy, there's always been people excluded from voting. Any democracy decides that there's certain people that can't vote. And of course, back then, now it was slaves, women, non-citizens that couldn't vote in ancient Greece. And even today, there's lots of people we exclude. You know, until 1893, we excluded women from voting in New Zealand. We currently exclude those under the age of 18 from voting. And of course, there's often been exclusions for prisoners. And so the main rule until 2010 was this idea that if you had a sentence in prison for over 3 years, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. But if you were only in there for 1 or 2 years, you could vote. That changed in 2010. There was a National Party bill that came in that was voted by National and ACT to put a blanket ban on prisoner voting. And so that's what's at dispute here. And so we had a number of court rulings, including that Supreme Court ruling, saying it breached the Bill of Rights, it was unconstitutional. And now this week we've had the Waitangi Tribunal saying it's a breach of the treaty rights as well, and that it disproportionately affects Māori because there's disproportionate a large amount of Māori in prison, and therefore they been kicked off the electoral roll in greater numbers.
It's quite shocking, actually, when you look at the numbers. In 2010, Māori were already two times more likely to be disqualified from voting, and now they're 11 times more likely. That's quite shocking in itself.
Yeah, so this rule has therefore been deemed officially racist, really, by this Waitangi Tribunal report. And so I think the government's been quite reluctant to move on this one. So Labor opposed the extension to this blanket ban on prisoners voting back in 2010. But, of course, they're now challenged to, you know, reverse that or even go along with the Waitangi Tribunal recommendation of giving all prisoners the right to vote. And so I think Labor's quite uncertain what to do, and yes, it hasn't been a priority for Andrew Little, who's the Justice Minister. But I think because they know that a lot of New Zealanders support this idea of prisoners not being able to vote, because they see that prison is a place of punishment, and that voting is something that we give to citizens, and therefore maybe it's something we should take away for those that break the rules. And so, yeah, it's kind of a big question of values. And although National are more hard line on this, you know, they want all prisoners to lose the right to vote, Labor, their policy is more, yes, we should take away the right to vote, but only for those more severe criminals.
New Zealand First, I'm quite curious about what you think about New Zealand First's position, because they didn't support the bill in 2010. What do you think their position might be now?
Well, they didn't support the bill in 2010 because they weren't in Parliament at that stage. They'd been kicked out for that that Parliament. But so they aren't saying exactly what they're going to do and what their position is. People assume, but I think quite rightly, that they're more hardline on law and order issues and therefore aren't inclined to want to give prisoners the vote. So Peters has said that they're going to go away and have a think about it. I saw him talk on Monday. He was talking to a bunch of first-year politics students at Victoria University. And he didn't express any great sympathy for prisoners being able to vote. He did say that it's a problem, that prisoners are kicked off the roll, and therefore when they get out of prison, they're not able, well, they don't re-enroll.
That's
the reality.
So there's sort of two layers to it, really.
Yeah, so there's two layers to that, which is what the Waitangi Tribunal report argued. But so Peter said to the first-year politics student that perhaps the answer, therefore, is to not disqualify prisoners from voting. So let prisoners stay on the electoral roll while they're in prison, but just not let the ballot papers into prison, just not physically let them vote. So that was his kind of, his compromise solution. And so we might see him proposing something a bit more like that in Parliament in the next couple of weeks.
All right, well, let's talk about Stats NZ now, because this is the other big topic of the moment. So the head of Stats NZ, Liz McPherson, has resigned, taking responsibility for a botched census in 2018, which was delivered mostly online. So why is this such a big deal, Bryce?
Well, a census, traditionally we've had these every 5 years. It's a really important mechanism for the government to find out who the people are, so to measure them, so to find out how many there are, what jobs they have, lots of individual details about them, and they use that to then decide on some big public policy issues. I mean, how many hospitals to fund, mm-hmm. schools to build, electoral rolls, because we have to decide the boundaries for every election about where the different contests will be run. And so the fact is, this last one, Statistics New Zealand decided they were going to be big and bold and brave and go into the digital future and try and get it online, which is quite an obvious thing to do. Because it's always been done on paper, where people fill out paper forms. They were going to bring it in so that you had a chance, an opportunity to just go online and do it. And a report has just come out this week to show that things went quite badly wrong with that exercise. They said the basic idea of what they were doing was good and right, but they just didn't actually end up carrying out the exercise very well. So it meant that, with a census, you want basically everyone in the country to fill out those forms, but we only had a compliance rate of 83%, which was well short of the norm. And so this report found that there'd been all sorts of mistakes made by the leadership of Statistics New Zealand. And so they relied too much on this online idea. So people still had the provision to fill out the old-fashioned paper forms. But basically, Statistics New Zealand didn't print enough of those. They didn't get high enough staff to actually take those around to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, in the end, was a major stuff-up. And it means that these stats are much less reliable. They're not as robust as we would normally need for that decision-making. So therefore, yes, the head of that government department has resigned.
It's interesting. There was particularly a big drop-off in Māori, Pacific,
yes.
and rural communities. Almost 20% of Māori, there was a drop-off. A 20% drop-off in Māori respondents.
About 63%, so it's quite bad.
It's terrible. A lot of critics have said that there's going to be a long time for certain groups, I guess, to trust government agencies again. What do you think some of the long-term effects of this are going to be?
Well, I think that's just undoubtedly true, that people are going to lose some of their faith in the government's use of the statistics, and they should be asking questions about whether... And I'm seeing iwi asking a lot of questions at the moment, saying, well, a lot of our, what we do with government is contingent on these statistics being correct. So, I think there are questions to be asked, but one of the people asking the strongest questions at the moment is the Leader of the Opposition, Simon Bridges. And so he's saying that these stats are now dodgy and that they can't be trusted. And that's actually building up a bigger fight because James Shaw is kicking back. He's the Minister of Statistics, saying, basically accusing Bridges of going full Trump and saying he's basically calling into confidence the trust in government and statistics, and that James Shaw has warned Bridges if he goes down that path, you're going to be destroying people's faith in politicians and in the decisions they make, and that, yeah, and I guess James Shaw seems quite angry about this. He thinks that's a bad way to go.
Well, quickly before we run out of time, Paula Bennett has also said that two people have come to her to raise concerns in the last week about sexual misconduct allegations in the Labor Party and how those have been dealt with. We've also seen sexual misconduct allegations within National during the Jamie Lee Ross debacle, and also Parliament has obviously been coming under fire from a huge internal report on bullying. These are pretty toxic situations. How do you think we can take steps towards changing this culture within Parliament as well as more broadly?
I think you need transparency, you need openness, and you need good processes. And none of those things seem to be occurring in the political parties at the moment. And Labour, you know, I think, they're at the forefront of this at the moment because they are having these allegations. They have, if you remember, the so-called Labour youth camp with all the sexual allegations last year. And there were some allegations there that were never suitably resolved for many people in the party. And so now there's someone that's working in the Beehive, it seems, who has allegations against them. And there's a number of staffers there that feel those allegations have been put forward to the leadership, to the Labour Party, and they haven't been taken seriously. They've therefore made the extraordinary step of going to the opposition with their complaints, which is just kind of amazing. And it shows how badly these people feel about the situation, and they don't feel that there's enough transparency. They don't feel that the processes in the party are adequate for dealing with their complaints. So I think there's a lot of parties, Labour included, that are going to set people up on this.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Bryce Edwards. We really appreciate it, and it's nice to speak to you again after a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Rachel.
We'll speak to you again soon. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.